wonder if you have ever read a book by Terry Pratchett. Has anyone read a book by Terry Pratchett? Yeah, Brenda. Just Brenda and me. Well, I know it's considered a little bit nerdy, Terry Pratchett books. I'm sorry, Brenda. but I used to read them a lot, and I still like them. There's one called Weird Sisters, which is a kind of funny, satirical version of Macbeth. And right at the beginning, the king of the kingdom of Lanka is murdered by his nephew, and he turns into a ghost. And for a little bit, he doesn't realise that he's a ghost. And then it takes him a while to come to terms with the fact that he's a ghost. Nobody can see him. He can't touch anything. He can't interact with things that he's used to interacting with. He was this great, powerful king, and now he is a powerless ghost who nobody can see and hear. And isn't that a picture of what we as a culture have done to God? We've written him out of our understanding of how the world came into being. We've discarded him from public life. I'm sure you remember Alistair Campbell's famous words about New Labour when he said, "We don't do God." We've relegated God to some kind of imaginary kind of comfort blanket that some people, perhaps who happen to be sitting in churches all around the country, but some minority of people think is hold on to as a comfort blanket. That's what our culture seems to have done, isn't it? And what's worse than that is that we as the church have bought into it, that idea. And so we sort of think that my relationship with God is just my private thing between me and him, and it's personal, it's a matter of my personal faith. And we've tucked him away into a manageable corner of our lives and a manageable corner of our culture. And that's tragic, isn't it? But God is not dead. God is not imaginary. And God is not just a personal thing that each of us has in our head. The Lord who created the universe, who created everything that is out of nothing, is still the same Lord that he has always been. No matter how much our culture puts its fingers in its ears and closes its eyes. And he, the Lord, deserves our worship and our praise and our love. And that is why this psalm that Liz just read out to us is so helpful. It's a declaration of God's power and his authority and his generous kindness. And we need to hear it. It's a call to worship. Have you got your news in the pews? Have a look down at those first couple of verses again. Listen to this call to worship. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Now, did you notice who is this call directed to? King David, who wrote this, he's making a call. Who's it to? It's not to the church, weirdly, is it? It's to the heavenly beings. King David was calling the heavenly beings to worship. We're here in Denton Church, but around God's throne in heaven are myriads of heavenly creatures. The Bible talks about them: angels, cherubim, seraphim, the hosts of heaven. And any one of those creatures, if we could see them before us, would terrify us. Because they would be so majestic that we would just fall to our knees. But King David, the psalm writer, says to them, worship God. Give glory to God, to the Lord. And so if David calls them to worship, how much more should we worship the Lord, give him glory? We're his creatures too, but we're creatures made in his image. Our existence is meant to give him glory. I don't know if you've been watching the Olympics, but on Friday, Team GB's Kate French, can we have a picture of her? Here she is, maybe? Anyway, you might have seen it. Here she is. Kate French won the final of the final event of the modern pentathlon at the Olympics. I mean, to be honest, it's one of the more bizarre events in the Olympics, I think, and combination of bits of activities with horse racing, show jumping, swimming, shooting, running. It's confusing to me. But anyway, she stormed it and she finished with 15 seconds to spare. And once she got her breath back, she stepped onto the podium and was given a gold medal. And the watching world ascribed glory to her. She, right now, she is the Olympic champion. She is the best modern pentathlete in the world. We know how to give glory, don't we? We know how to give glory to a great athlete. And even if we don't care about athletics, we still give respect and honour and glory to people we give respect and honour to her, even if we don't care about athletics. But if we don't, if we are more interested in other things, then we still give glory to people like the royal family. We give them the glory that's due to them, don't we? We give music stars who are very talented the glory and honour that's due to them, or scientists or politicians. We want to respect and honour people who deserve it. That's not wrong. It's good. It's how we're made. It makes us feel good as well, doesn't it? But who is the most glorious? Who is the most worthy of praise? Kate French is worthy of praise for being such a good athlete. But who is really worthy of all our praise and worship? Only the Lord. Only God. Give the Lord the glory due to his name. But I suppose you might say, you still might say, but why? I get that, but why? Verses 3 to 9 in Psalm 29 say, because the Lord is awesomely powerful. And as you read those verses, you need to picture a thunderstorm, a massive thunderstorm, because that's the image it's trying to create. So I was once on a summer camp in down on the south coast in the west, we were in a school, and one evening we were sat there at the back of the school looking out over the fields to the Isle of Wight across the Solent, and we could see this thunderstorm coming in from the south, and it was rolling over the Isle of Wight, and we sat there watching, mesmerized as it rolled in towards us over the island and across the sea. The clear evening sky was being swallowed up by these dark rolling clouds, encroaching and heavy, and underneath the clouds, you know, when you can see in the distance there is pouring rain, you know, when it's kind of fuzzy and shimmery underneath, there was that going on all over the Isle of Wight and all over the sea, and the wind started to pick up and grow and beat in our faces until it was roaring across the field at us, and suddenly there was a flash of lightning cutting through the clouds and striking the land. And then you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, boom! And a huge thunder roll. And the storm came closer and closer, lightning, thunder, wind, until it was right overhead. It was an amazing experience. So it's exhilarating. Have you ever been in a thunderstorm like that? I mean, it's lovely when you're inside looking out at a thunderstorm in shelter. Or if you've ever been down to New Haven Harbour in a real swell and seen the water bashing up against the break or the harbour wall, the raw power of the sea, the raw power of a thunderstorm. Well, that's kind of what you're meant to be thinking about when you read these verses from Psalm 29. But it's not just any old storm. This is the kind of storm where the wind, do you see what it says? The wind is cutting a sway through the cedar forests of Lebanon. The ground itself is quaking and shaking and leaping. It's the kind of storm where you're not sitting comfortably in a deck chair watching. It's the kind of storm where you are genuinely afraid that this might be the last storm you see. And you feel a bit like a leaf in the wind or a paper boat on the waves. That's that storm. That's what the voice of the Lord is like. And there is a healthy fear that we should feel about God. When he speaks, we're utterly powerless before him. We are, each of us, and even all of us put together, are like a leaf in the wind, like a paper boat on the waves before him. And if you're in a storm like that and you put your fingers in your ears and you close your eyes, it doesn't go away. And pretending God, this God, is a fantasy or a comfort blanket or a personal hobby or habit is just futile. God is there. And he's the almighty Lord of all. So do you let yourself see how awesome God is? Do you have room in your understanding for the Lord who is transcendent, who is so high and above and beyond you in every way? Will you open your eyes to this Lord who is there? The Lord is awesomely powerful. And if that was all, we should be terrified. We should be terrified like a leaf in a storm. We should be out of our minds with terror. If God was the storm, if he was this uncontrolled kind of natural force or something that was wild, that would be terrifying, wouldn't it? Because you never know who's going to get struck down next. Or even worse, if he was an all-powerful being with great power and who was evil, that would be horrific. But thankfully the Lord is not like that. Come with me to verse 10. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. That's who he is. The Lord is sitting on his throne, his rightful throne as king of the universe. It's not just might, it's right. He is king with authority. And what does he do with this awesome power that he holds? He gives strength to his people. And he blesses them with peace. He doesn't steamroll over them with thunder and destruction. He lifts up his people and he gives them wholeness and restoration. This is our God. Awesome power and gentle grace. Transcendent, above, beyond everything, and imminent, right here with us, with you. How can these things both be true? The Lord Jesus Christ. God and man. King of the universe and humble servant who died in our place. That's how God can be so far above and yet right with us. That's how he can be all powerful and the righteous judge of sinful people like us who have rejected him. And he can be the one who forgives us and who loves us and who welcomes us in as his children into his family. This is our God. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure I've quoted it before, but in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis, great book, great story. The children have arrived in Narnia and they meet these two talking animals, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver. And Mr. and Mrs. Beaver start to tell the children about Aslan. And if you know The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, you know that Aslan is like a picture of Jesus. And so they're telling the children about Aslan, and Lucy responds, and she says, Is he a man? Asked Lucy. Aslan a man? Said Mr. Beaver sternly. Certainly not. I tell you, he is the king beyond the wood. The king of the wood, and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Don't you know who is the king of the beasts? Aslan is a lion. The lion. The great lion. Oh, said Susan. I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. That you will, dearie, and no mistake, said Mrs. Beaver. If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly. Then he isn't safe, said Lucy. Safe? Said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you. He isn't safe, but he's good. That's a wonderful picture of what Jesus is like. And if that draws a response from your heart, a kind of mixture of fear and joy and love and awe and wonder, well, that's what it means to ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Shall we pray? Father, we come before you as your finite, fallen, small creatures. And you are the Lord of heaven and earth. We thank you for your awesome power. We praise you for your right authority and kingship. And we are so grateful for your grace and your mercy to us in your Son Jesus. Help us to ascribe to you the glory that is due to your name. Help us to have a bigger view of who you are that is more true and more real. And kindle our hearts to love you because of what you have done, because of the way you have loved us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.